Good morning to everybody. Shavuot Tov, Gvach. What you see in front of you is something very familiar to you. Last week, Parshas Ve'eschanan, we read the Parsha of Shema. And this week's Parsha, Parshas Ekev, we read the Parsha of Vahaya Im Shamal. Now, these two Parshas, of course, although they are independent of each other, found in two different Parshios, nonetheless are very, very connected. We all know them because we recite them every morning, what we refer to as Shema. So we said in Shachar Shema, the paragraph of Shema, in Parshas Eschanan, followed by Vahaya. We do the same thing in Tfilas Ma'ariv. We say Shema, of course, followed by Vahaya. And Kriya Shema Lamita, before reclining, before going to sleep for the night, many recite the Parsha of Shema. Some also recite the Parsha of Vahaya Shema. But these two Parshas, of course, go together for most of us, at least once a day, many of us twice, and some three. Shema and Vahayim Shemoah are really defining and really at the crux and the heart of the Jewish person in the Jewish day. Shema we'll talk about momentarily. We'll speak about what the unique nature of Shema is, what the unique nature of Vahayim Shemoah is. But we're all familiar with these two parshas. But not only are we familiar with them because we recite them daily at Shacharis and Amarev, but we know that when we walk in and out of a room, when we look to the right and we see our mezuzah, inside of every mezuzah is a klaf, and inside the klaf, of course, is two parshios. And the two parshios that appear in every mezuzah are the parshios of Shema and Vahayim Shema. So again, these two parshios, again, go together not only in tefillah, but now as well in the mezuzah. And not only in tefillah, not only in the mezuzah, but every Jewish man who wears tefillin every single day, inside of his tefillin, are the parshios again of Shema and Vahayim Shema. Now, there are four parshios in Shema, actually. The other two parshios, Kaddish and Vahayim Kivyachal, we're not going to talk about today. But inside of the tefillin again are these two parshios, Shema and Vahayim Shema. Shema is in Parshios Ve'eschanan. Vahaya is in Parshios Ekev. So these two parshios are connected at the hip, not only in proximity, the fact that they're juxtaposed in two parshios, but they're found really in the most critical and the most ordinary, and the most critical components that we have of our Jewish life in tefillah, in mezuzah, and in tefillin, these two parshios are found. The Mishnah in Meseches Brachos and Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis asks the following question, and it's found in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha notes the following question. He says, why is it that we first recite the parsha of Shema followed by the Parsha of Ahayim Shema Tishma? Now, it's true in terms of the chronology of the Parshios, Shema comes before Ahayim Shema, but nonetheless, we still have to ask the question, why is it that we read this Parsha before the next Parsha? Meaning, we don't necessarily, and we're not committed to the order of the Torah. Ein mukta mucha b'Torah is a principle that Rashi notes. It's a principle that Tosfos notes. But the Gemara in Maseches Brachos Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis and the Mishnah there specifically asks, why? What's so unique that when we say Shema, first you have to read the Parsha of Shema, and then you have to read the Parsha of Ahayim Shema? As mentioned, this is a question raised by Rabbi Shua ben Karach, and he says as follows, that the reason that we do as such is because we want to be makdim kabbalas ol malchus shemayim to ol mitzvos. That the paragraph, the passage, the parsha of Shema is discussing kabbalas ol malchus shemayim, accepting the yoke of heaven. Meaning, read the psukim in Shema, in Parshas Eschanan, we have it in front of us. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hear Hashem, Hashem, you are our God, Hashem is one. V'haftas Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. We love you, Hashem, with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all our financial gains. So the first paragraph of Shema speaks to really what's chronologically, not just in terms of the parshas, but what is most significant to the Jew. You can't talk about keeping mitzvos. You can't talk about positive mitzvos. You can't talk about negative mitzvos. You can't talk about reward and punishment, schar v'onesh, until you talk about the basic tenets of our faith. The most basic tenet of our faith is, hear Israel, God is as our God. God is one. We you love you, Hashem, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all our finances. So therefore, the first parsha that we read every single day when we wake up in the morning at Shacharis is the parsha of Shema. Once we have that tenet of our philosophy, once we know the background and the backbone is there, it's at that point we move to Parshas Ekev, the paragraph, the passage of Vahayim Shema, because Vahayim Shema begins, and we'll read through each of the psukim, talks about the acceptance of the mitzvos of the Torah, keeping the mitzvos. And if we keep the mitzvos, as we'll see, and as we read yesterday, things will be good for us. Life will be good. We'll have prosperity. We'll have financial gains. The agriculture will be good. It will rain, and it will rain at the right time. But if we don't do so, Hishamar Lechem, watch out. If you don't follow the mitzvahs, you don't keep the law in order, you know we're going to be doomed. We're going to be in for trouble. Those are the basic messages in Parsha Shema and Parsha Svayim Shemoa. That's the chronology. That's the reason that we start with Shema, and then we move to Vahayim Shema. And therefore, what I would like to do today is show you that not only is there a significant difference in terms of the way the Gemara explains the categorical difference between Shema and Vahaya, but I like to point out a second fundamental and categorical difference between these two parashos, as I will note with you right now. And we'll go through the parashos, and you will see that there are some very, very significant differences between the two paragraphs, between the two passages, that will lead to, I believe, a very critical understanding of these two passages, and even more so, who we are as people and where we find ourselves in terms of the greater Jewish people. Take a look in the first paragraph, in the first column, Parshas Veschanan, the pasuk we just read, we're not going to dwell on much. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the opening pasuk, the opening verse, the bottom line of all of Judaism, monotheism, believing in one God, uniting and making sure that there's Yichud Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. But let's read the second pasuk. And this is the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. We're all commanded to love God. So the pasuk says, you have it in front of you, on the right-hand column, V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavecha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'adecha, that we're required, commanded, to love Hashem our God, v'chol levavecha, with all of our hearts. The Gemara says, Ezehu avoda shabalev, what does that mean, that we should love God with all of our heart? Zot tefillah. We're commanded to pray. We're commanded to communicate with God, to have devotion, to really unite with Hashem, with our heart. The way that we do that and the way that a Jew connects and loves God with his heart is through prayer. Uvechol nafshecha is the second way that we show God how much we love God, and that's giving up our lives. Uvechol nafshecha, uvechol nefesh. And that the Gemara says, and also the end of Maseches Brachos, Rabbi Akiva, his whole life, waited, when will he be able to fulfill loving God with all of his nefesh, with all of his soul? And of course, Rabbi Akiva was one of the 10 martyrs, the Asare Haru became Marchos, and he went to his death smiling, knowing that he was fulfilling the mitzvah of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving up his life to be Moser Nefesh, self-sacrifice, as we know, hundreds, thousands, and millions of Jews throughout our very long and difficult history have lived their lives and have given their lives al kiddush Hashem. That is, b'chol nafshecha, giving our life, giving our soul, returning our soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any situation that it's so commanded of us. Again, the halachic categories are not what we are going to go through today, but of course, some of the most basic principles of our faith and one of the most basic tenets of our faith is that if we are charged with gilei raios, shvichus dam, avodah zarah, illicit relations, murder, or idol worship, at any of those points, if we are forced to do those things, we know we are required, commanded, to give our lives. Thus, the love of God shows itself when we give our soul back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those particular situations. But that's not it. It's not just b'chol levavcha. It's not just b'chol nafshecha, but it's b'chol me'odecha. With all of our financial assets, with all of our financial gains. How much do I love you, Hashem? So it depends upon the situation. But there are certain times and certain places where I show God how much I love God because I'm willing not just to do a part with my soul. And not just because I'm going to pray, but b'chol me'odecha, when I'm able to take money and I'm able to use it for the right thing, for the right causes, for the right circumstances, for the right situations, that's also a kiyum, that's also fulfillment of loving God. And the Gemara tells us there are certain people who love their money more than they love their soul. There are certain people who love their soul more than they love their money. Therefore, the Gemara teaches us that the pasuk needs to tell us that all three of these things have to be here. We are required, b'chol levavecha, u'v'chol nafshecha, uvechol me'odecha, and that's how one fulfills the biblical commandment of loving God. Take a look in the second column. And in the second column, you'll note a very fascinating point. Parshas Ekev, the last section of the parsha that we read yesterday, reads as follows. The second passage. V'hayem shmo tishmol mitzvosai. It will come to pass that we are required, charged, an action, that we should listen el mitzvosai, to the mitzvos asher anochi mitzaveschem ayom, the mitzvos that are going to be commanded today. This is Moshe speaking to the Jewish people in the name of God. The time will come when we are supposed to, and we are charged to make sure to follow the mitzvot that are commanded to us, li'ahavas Hashem Elokeichem, that we should love God. So, of course, this is paralleling the first passage, the first chapter, the first verse in Shema, v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, we should love Hashem, how? B'chol levavichem u'v'chol nafshichem. That we should love God with all of our lev, with all of our heart, u'v'chol ha'nefesh, and with all of our soul. Note, of course, a very blatant and obvious omission. As opposed to Parshas Veschanan, where the Jew is commanded to love God with his heart, with his soul, with all of his finances, b'chol levavicha, v'chol nafshicha, v'chol me'aldecha, here something is missing. All it says is that we are charged to love God, the same verse, le'hava es Hashem Elokechem, u'la'avdo, b'chol levavichem u'b'chol nafshichem. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul. What happened to the last way to love God? What happened to the chol me'odechem? That we should love God with all of our finances, with all of our ability to give, with our pocketbook. Where did that go? Why in Parshas Veschanan, in the chapter about Shema, do we see that we're commanded to love God with our lev, with our nefesh, with our me'odecha, as opposed to the chapter in Parshas Ekev, Parshas V'hayim Shemoah, where that's missing? We're only commanded to love God with our lev and with our nefesh, with our heart and with our soul, and our financial package, our financial ability, that's not a requirement here any longer. That is question number one. This question is raised by none other than Reb Chaim Mivolozhin, the outstanding disciple of the Vilna Gaon, in his magnum opus, in his classic work, The Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, Perek Ches. Reb Chaim Mivolozhin asks this question. What happened here? Why the distinction? Why the difference? Why in Parshas Veschanan is there B'chol Me'odecha linked, piggybacking on Levavcha B'chol Nafshecha, as opposed to in Parshas Ekev, where we are missing the commandment, the requirement to love Hashem B'chol Me'odchem? Question number one. If you continue looking in Parshas Ekev, you will note, of course, as we began, there's some significant additions in Parshas Ekev that we don't have in Parshas Veschanan. And that is Schar V'Onesh, reward and punishment. Parshas Shema, of course, was what we said, was Yichud Hashem, is loving God, is making an a Kadosh Baruch Hu one, Yichud Hashem. But nonetheless, Parshas V'Hayim Shemoah talks about Schar V'Onesh, reward and punishment, and Kabbalah's mitzvah. So the next psukim, 1, 2, 3, 4, if you do what I told you to do, says Moshe to the people in the name of God, you'll receive rain. Be'ito, at the right time. Yoreo Malkosh, the best types of rain. The strong rain, the soft rain. Ve'asafta deganecha, you'll collect, you'll be able to collect all the grain from the fields. You'll eat, you'll be satisfied, you'll have food for your animals, for your flock. However, says Hashem, Hishamru lechem, watch out. Don't follow idol worship. Don't run after other gods. Because if you do, you know what's going to happen. The last pasuk in this section, V'chara af Hashem b'chem, God will be angry with you. V'yotzer sashemayim, and the heavens will stop allowing rain to fall. V'lo yiyah matar, and there won't be any dew. V'adama lo siten esivul, and the ground will not give its bounty. And you won't see the goodness of the land, and you will be exiled from the land. So those four psukim are missing from the Parsha of Shema, but that's not terribly difficult because Parsha of Shema is not dealing with mitzvos. It's not dealing with schar v'onesh. It's not dealing with reward and punishment. That's unique to Parsha of Shema. But now let's look at the end of the two passages in Parsha Shema and Parsha of Shema, and you'll see again similar psukim, yet very categorical, significant differences. Take a look and continue in the Parsha of Shema, in the right-hand column. The next pasuk reads as follows. These things that I just commanded you should be on your heart. They should be on your heart. What I just told you. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That should be on your heart. That should be on your heart. Look, however, in the parallel column, in V'hayim Shmoah, V'samtem es devarai eile al levavichem v'al nafshichem. As opposed to the Parsha Shema, where we're required that these things should be on our hearts, Now, what does the pasuk say in Parshas Ekev? That the things that we just spoke about, what should they be on? Alevavichem v'al nafshichem. They should be on my heart and on my soul. So here in Parshas Ekev, we have an addition that we don't have in Parshas Veskana. We have an addition in the Parsha B'Hayim Shemoah that we don't have in the Parsha V'Hafta, that everything that we just spoke about in Parsha B'Hayim Shemoah, talking about Charaf Hashem Bachem, Hishamru Lachem, and Asati Esav, and Asati Meta'artzachem, that not just should be on your heart, but it should also be on your nefesh, on your soul. Question number two. Why in the chapter, why in the paragraph, why in the passage of Shema is everything that we just listed, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad, V'haftas Hashem Elokeach B'chol Vavach B'chol Nafshach Meldecha, why should that be on our heart only? Shouldn't that also be on our soul, on our nefesh, and on our ma'odcha? As opposed to Parshas Vayim Shema, we're commanded that these things should be on our heart and on our soul. So you see a very clear distinction, a categorical difference, number two, between the first passage, the passage of Shema, and the passage of Hayim Shema, the V'hayu HaDvarim Eila Shanochim Tzabchayom should only be Alev Avecha, as opposed to the passage of Hayim Shema, that these things, everything that we spoke about, Tzchar V'onesh, reward and punishment, the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, accepting the Mitzvos, that should be on our heart, Alev Avchem, and on Nafshechem. Let's look and take a look at two more categorical differences in these two passages. Go back to Shema. These things should be on your heart. How should they be on your heart? The Torah tells us, "Vishinantam levanecha v'dibartavam, v'shivtecha b'beisecho v'lechtecha v'derecho v'shach v'chavgumecha." You want to know how? Teach it to your children. Vishinantam levanecha. Teach your children Torah. V'dibartavam. You should speak about Torah. V'shivtecha b'beisecho when you're in your house. U'v'lechtecha v'derecho and when you're on the road. V'shach v'chavgumecha when you're waking up in the morning and when you go to sleep. Study Torah. Teach Torah, pass it on to the next generation. The next pasuk tells us, besides for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and to teach Torah, is the mitzvah k'shartam lo'os al yadecha v'hayle totafos b'neinecha. What's that referring to? Of course, to the mitzvah of tefillin. And inside of the tefillin, we're therefore commanded to have this passage, the passage of Shema. And after k'shartam lo'os al yadecha, that you should tie him to your hands, v'hayle totafos b'neinecha, and it should be in between your eyes on your head. You should write this passage, the passage of Shema al Mezuzos Pesecha, on the doorpost of your home, uvisharecha, and on the gates. So if you take a look at the chronological and sequential order, in the first passage, in the first column, in Parshim Shema, first it's Torah, Vishinantam Levanecha, then it's Tfilin, Ukshartam Los Al Yadecha, and finally, Uchasavtam al Mezuzos Pesecha, Vishrecha, is in the mitzvah of mezuzah. So we go from Torah to tefillin to mezuzah. Take a look in the parallel psukim in Parshas Vayim Shema in the second column, and let's take a look if the order is the same or different. Will the order parallel Shema, Torah, to tefillin to mezuzah, or will it be different? Take a look. V'samtem es devarai eil alavavachem anafshachem. Place these things which I have just taught you on your heart and on your soul. Number one, ukshartam osam l'osal yedchem v'hayu l'totafos b'neinechem. As opposed to the parasha Shema where we start with Torah, teaching Torah, studying Torah, the first thing we're commanded, the way that we're able to place these things on our heart and on our soul is tefillin. Tefillin is number one. After tefillin, take a look in the next pasuk. V'limanetem osam esmeneichem l'damber b'mishivtecha b'beisecha v'lechtecha v'derecha v'shach v'chavgumecha. And only then comes Torah. And finally, then you should write this parsha on your doorposts and on the gates of your homes. So we see a very different order in Shema and Vahayim Shemoah. If you want to take the mitzvah of loving God, if you want to take the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, of coronating God and making God one, as is the mitzvah and as is the action point of the first passage, the passage of Shema. So the way to do it is Torah, Shinantam Levanecha, and then to place these psukim on your hands and in between your eyes, that's the mitzvah of tefillin, and finally, the mitzvah of mezuzah. So we go from Torah to mezuzah, to Torah to tefillin to mezuzah and Shema. As opposed to in the Parsha Vahayim Shemoah, we go from Ukshartam, the mitzvah of tefillin, to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah v'limaditem, and then finally, the mitzvah of mezuzah. So both parshios and both passages are equivalent that mezuzah is last. That you could see, I bolded it. That's the last mitzvah. The question is, what's first and what's second? In Shema, first it's Torah and then it's Tefillin. In Vahayim Shemoa, first it's Tefillin and then it's Torah. This point is raised by none other than Rabbi Shimshon Mofarel Hirsch, and his commentary on the Torah is troubled. Why the distinction? Why the difference? Why in the first passage, the passage of Shema, we go from Torah to Tefillin to Mezuzah? As opposed to the second passage, we go from mezuzah, we go from tefillin to Torah to mezuzah. The way Rav Hirsch asks the question is that in the parsha of Shema, you see that the Torah and the mitzvah of Torah is directly connected to tefillin and mezuzah. First comes the mitzvah of vishinantam, and connected to vishinantam is then ukshartam uchasaftam, is the mitzvahs of tefillin and mezuzah. Asks Rav Hirsch, why in the parsha of Vahayim Shemoa is there a break in between the mitzvah of tefillin and mezuzah? Why do we separate them? And why is limaditem, the mitzvah of teaching Torah, of studying Torah, found in the middle? Why ukshartem uchasaftem not together? So thus, that's the second categorical difference that we see between the two parshios. The first I noted at the beginning is the difference between that in the first passage, you shall love Hashem b'chol levavacha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha, as opposed to Vahayim Shemoa, where we're missing u'v'chol me'odecha. And number two, we see that the mitzvah of Torah then comes tefillin, and then comes mezuzah, as opposed to Vahayim Shemoa, first comes tefillin, then comes Torah, and then comes mezuzah. If you take an even closer look, you'll see an even more significant difference as to the way Torah is referred to. Take a look in Shema, in the first passage and the first chapter, the way that we talk about studying Torah and teaching Torah is vishinanta. Vishinanta. If you look across the way, in the parsha of Hayim Shemoa, it's not vishinantam, but it's vilimadetam. Shinun and limud are certainly synonyms. They're two different ways that we refer to studying Torah and to teaching Torah. But why is it that in the parsha of Shema we talk about shinun, vishinantam, that you should shinantam levanecha, you should teach the Torah to your children, as opposed to in the second paragraph, the paragraph of Hayim Shemoa, it's said differently, it's vilimadetam. Limud is the word that we use. We're more familiar with it in modern Hebrew. There's limud ha-Torah, lilmod Torah, lilamei Torah. Those are words that we use both in Chazal and Tefillah as well as in modern Hebrew when we talk about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's Talmud Torah. It's limud Torah, lilamei Torah. Those are words that are more familiar to us. But why is it in the parasha Shema we have this word shinun, vishinantam, which also, as I said, is a synonym for limud, for teaching, but why the difference? Why vishinantam versus vilimadatam? Yet, there's another difference. If you look at the end of both passages, you see a difference as well. Both Shema and Vahayim Shema finish uchsavtam al-mezuzos beisecha b'sharecha the exact same way. But the passage of Vahayim Shema finishes with one final verse that you don't have in Shema. If you do what you're supposed to do, says Moshe to the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that your days are lengthened. Al ha'adama, on this world, in this earth. Asher nishba Hashem la'voseichem la'seis lahem, the land that God has promised you, the land of Israel, kimei ha'shemayim al aretz. Why in Vahayim Shema do we finish with a blessing? Do we finish with a promise, with a guarantee, with a very uplifting and upbeat point that your days will be lengthened, you'll conquer, you'll live, you'll have, you'll inherit the land of Israel? Why is that missing from the parasha of Shema? Why don't we have that there? So we see four very significant differences between these two passages. I'll repeat and review them again, and then we'll try to share an insight and understanding into the paragraph of Shema and the paragraph of Ahaya. So the first difference, of course, is the point that Reb Chaim Mivolozhin makes. His question, his issue, noted again in Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, Perek Ches. Why is it that the commandment to love Hashem is different in the first passage than the second? Here it's in Parshas Veschanan, B'chol Levavacha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Me'odecha. These three ways, with our heart, with our soul, with our financial backing. And in Ekev, L'avdu B'chol Lehava Es Hashem L'okechem, L'avdu B'chol Levavachem, B'chol Nafshechem. Why are we missing uvuchol me'odchem? Why are we only commanded to love God in this week's parsha, in Parshas Vayim Shemoa, Parshas Ekev, with our heart, with our soul, and without me'odechem. The second distinction that we saw is that these things, which I am telling you, says God, should only be al levavecha, should be placed on your heart, as opposed to in Parsha V'hayim Shmatz, al levavechem v'al nafshechem, on your heart and on your soul. Distinction number two. Categorical difference number two. Number three. Vishinantam in Parsha Shema versus Vilimadatam in Parshas V'hayim Shemoa. Difference number four is the order, the sequential order, the chronological order. If you want to place these things on your heart, in Parsha Shema it starts with Torah, then it goes to Tefillin, and then it goes to Mezuzah. In Parshas V'hayim Shemoa it starts with Tefillin, then the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and then finally the mitzvah of Mezuzah. That's distinction number four. Why the difference in the sequential chronological order? Difference number five is the last pasuk, the promise, the guarantee. Laman yirbu yimeichem v'mei v'neichem. These are the distinctions, these are the differences between these two passages. Again, as we noted, they are almost identical in the beginning and on the end. These two parshas come together, as we see. You have to put them in your tefillin, you have to put them in our mezuzah. We find them on our door steps, we find them in our homes. These two parshas together, we find them in our tefillin together, we recite them together. But nonetheless, there's certainly something happening in these two parshas. There's certainly something critical that's being taught to us here that we have to know. If you read the two parshas carefully, you'll note that there's one major difference. And that difference is going to help us define and decipher the answer to our questions that we just raised. The first paragraph, the first passage, Parshas Va'eschanan, Shema, it's written in the singular. You may have noticed that already. You should love Hashem your God. That is in the singular form. The individual is required to love God with his heart, with his soul, and with all of his finances. God is talking to the yachid. God is talking to the individual. God's not speaking to the masses in Parshas Va'eschanan. God, in the name of Moshe, is speaking to each and every single Jew as an individual. Take a look in the parallel passage in Parshas Ekev. Ula'avdu b'chol levavichem u'v'chol nafshichem. That we, the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael, the nation of Israel, the assembly of Israel, is commanded to love God with all of our hearts and with all of our souls. Levavichem, nafshichem, as opposed to levavicha and nafshecha. Continue. In Parshas Vayim Shema, you'll see the same thing. You will collect the grain. And the rain will allow grass to grow in your field. Your animals. You will eat. Not v'achaltem v'savatem. Not besadichem. Not v'asafta diganichem. Watch out. The Torah here in Parshas Vayim Shemoa, as opposed to in Parshas Shema, is talking to the masses. It's talking to the assembly of Israel. It's talking to Klal Yisrael. It's not talking to the individual. It's not talking to the Yachim. And if you continue at the end of these two passages, you'll see it's even more stark. On your heart. Take a look in the parallel passage. How's it said in Shema? You see very clearly this distinction. That the parasha of Shema is talking to the yachid, is talking to the one, it's talking to the individual Jew, it's talking to me and you, to each and every single one of us as yichidim, as individuals, not as a family, not as a community, not as a household, it's talking to me, myself, and I. That's the parasha of Shema. The parasha of Shema is not talking to me, it's not talking to I, it's not talking to the lonely man of faith, it's talking to the Knesset Israel, it's talking to the assembly of Israel. That's a very basic difference between these two parshas. This point is made by Tosfos Meseches Brachos Daf Yudal Mabez. This point is made by the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Mivolozhin, and his Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph Perek Ches. Both of them note this very categorical and basic difference between these two paragraphs. But what's the difference? Why? Why in Shema is it written to the Yachid? And why V'Hayim Shemo is written to the Rabbin? Yachid versus Rabbin, individual versus community. We all know, explains Reb Chaim Volozhin, that there are two ways that man has a relationship with God. We relate to God as an individual, and we relate to God as a community. And vice versa, kimayim panim el panim, God relates to us as well in a very similar way. God talks to me and to you and each of us as individuals, and God talks to the Jewish people as a group. The question is, where do I find myself? Where am I within the bigger, broader world? Who am I? Am I an individual? Of course I'm an individual. Am I part of a tzibur? Absolutely I'm part of a tzibur. But what are my requirements and what are my responsibilities? If you take a look in the next passage that I copied for you on the second page, it's a well-known Gemara Maseches Brachos, Daf Lamed Vav Mebeis, that the Nefesh Chaim brings. It's a question that we all ask ourselves. It's a basic philosophical question that many of us debate. What's my responsibility as a Jew? Am I supposed to dedicate my life to Torah study, to tefillah, to religious pursuits, and allow all other responsibilities, financial responsibilities, secular responsibilities, are those supposed to be taken care of by somebody else? I'm not going to deal at great length with them, but somebody else will deal with it. I don't have to deal with them. My responsibility is to deal with spiritual pursuits, to learn, to study, to teach, to engage in Torah and Tefillah. Or no, is my responsibility to balance both of them? I have to engage in spiritual pursuits. I have to learn and I have to work. I have to do both, right? This is the age-old machlokas about kolel. It's the age-old machlokas. How long should I stay in kolel for? What are my responsibilities? Should I be learning three siddurim a day? Should I be dedicating my life to Torah throughout, through and through? Or no, should there be some sort of balance? Maybe it depends on what point in my life. Maybe it depends how old I am. Or maybe it depends on something else. And this, Reb Chaim Volozhin says, is what the Gemara means. The Gemara quotes here a machlokes between Reb Shimon ben Yochai and Reb Yishmael. And Reb Shimon ben Yochai is of the position that a human being should dedicate his life to Torah through and through. We all know Reb Shimon ben Yochai, the very well-known Tana, the student of Reb Akiva. His model was Torah, Torah, Torah. He hid in a cave, right? Upwards of a decade. He didn't want to leave, and when he left, he burnt somebody with his eyes because he was so dedicated to Torah. He couldn't live in this world. Rabbi Shmuel says, it's not going to work. We can't have Olam Hazeh. We can't have a life that's based upon everybody studying and pursuing Torah pursuits. It's not going to work. There needs to be balance. There needs to be Torah and an occupation. There needs to be Torah and work. Those two things need to go together. How do we paskin? What do we do? If you take a look at the last line in the Gemara says as follows: Harbe asu k'Reb Yishmael ve'alsa biyadan, k'Reb Shimon ben Yochai ve'lo alsa biyadan. Many people followed the path of Reb Yishmael, a path of balance, a path of learning and working, a path of half and half, 50-50, 75-25, a life of balance where I'm engaged in the workplace and I'm engaged deeply in Torah study. You have to do both. And it worked. It worked. Life went. There was civilization was successful. We went about our lives the proper way, and it worked. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai will also be other. Many people try to work and do and engage in Torah the way Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai did, v'lo also be other, and it didn't work. So it seems from this the Gemara, halacha lemaisa, practically speaking, that this Gemara is teaching that you know what you should do? You should engage in a balanced life. Look what the Gemara says. Many people tried to live the lifestyle of Shmuel and it didn't work. Many people tried to live the lifestyle of Shmuel and it did work. Therefore, it seemed to be that the psak halacha is indeed like Rabbi Shmuel over Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. However, the Nefesh HaChaim says you have to read the Gemara very carefully. And this is where Rabbi Chaim Volozhin makes a point which is critical, and it seems to be the explicit reading in the Gemara. Read that line again. Harbe asu k'Reb Yishmael. Many people tried to do like Reb Yishmael, and it worked. K'Reb Yishmael ben Yochai v'lo also biyagam. For the majority of people, for the 80, 90, I don't know what the majority is, but for the majority of the Jewish people, the proper approach is to live a life of Rabbi Yishmael, to balance occupation and Torah study. These two things go together. However, Harbe, it didn't work for Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. But there are some individuals, there are some unique people, there are yichidim, individuals who a life of Torah is their occupation. A spiritual pursuits is going to be their bread and butter. That's who they are. That's what they do. And therefore, this Gemara is hotly debated always and has been contemporarily. Where do you find yourself? Is the lifestyle of Kolo the right lifestyle or not? And this Gemara is used as the most basic source in terms of that debate. But the Nefesh HaChaim's position is, it depends who you are. If you're for the masses, it's not going to work. It doesn't. It's impossible. Not everybody can be engaged in a Kolo lifestyle, because who's going to support the Kolo? But there are people who can, and those people should. But Harbe Asuk Rabbi Shmuel, the majority, it's not going to work. But for the minority, there are certain unique people that work and live a life of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and for them it could work. The Nefesh HaChaim uses this Gemara and plugs it back in to the psukim that we read this morning. And he says, that's the difference between Parshas Ve'eschanan and Parshas Ekev. Parshas Ve'eschanan is speaking to the individual, the unique, the one, the I, the me, the you. Parshas Ekev is speaking to Klal Yisrael, the assembly, the largesse, the united Jewish front. If that's the case, says Reb Chaim Mivolozhin, we could very clearly understand the distinctions in Parsha Shema versus Parsha Svahayim. The first difference, V'haftas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol meildecha. It's talking in the language of the singular, to the yachid. And what does the pasuk say? You have to love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your financial ability. That's true for the yachid, for the individual. The individual can love Hashem with his heart, with his soul, and his me'odecha, and his financial backing, whatever he has. We can't ask that of everybody. We can't. There's certain people that can give up everything they have. They could give up their lifestyle, their paycheck, their olam hazeh for Hashem. B'chol me'odecha, you look at many people, their lives are not full with enormous checkbooks, with enormous bank accounts. They've given up their paycheck, they've given up their bank accounts to dedicate their lives to Hashem and to His Torah. Bechol me'aldecha, but that's for the one. That's for the individual. How many? I don't know. But it's you who have to make that decision. God says in the second chapter, in Parshas Ekev, ulo'avdo bechol levavechem uvechol nafshechem, where's bechol me'odchem? Because that's not for everybody. Not everybody could live that life. Not everybody could live the lifestyle where you're giving up all your finances. The Jewish people won't be able to survive. We won't be able to live if everybody is living like that. Therefore, the parsha of the Haya im Shemoa says, Ruchaymi Velazhin, the words uvachol ma'odchem are missing. Because uvachol ma'odchem and the parsha of the Haya im Shemoa and Parshas Ekev is speaking to Klal Yisrael. It's speaking to Bnei Yisrael. It's speaking to a group. It's speaking to the rabbim, to the plural. And that's not for everybody. It's not for everybody because not everybody could make it by giving up all of their possessions and all of their finances. It's an impossibility. It's not going to work. That, says Reb Chaim Mivolozhin, is the difference and the categorical difference between these two chapters. Parshas Ve'eschanan and Parsha Shema, the first passage that we recite daily, as opposed to the second passage of Ahayim Shema, is a distinction of who it's talking to. The first chapter is talking to that person who is willing to raise himself to a level where I'm willing to give up everything for you, Hashem. Not just my heart and prayer, and not just my soul for you, God, but everything I have, my whole olam hazeh, my whole this world I'm giving up for you. That's for a yachid. That's for an individual. For the rabbin, for the tzibur, v'chol ma'odchem, that's missing. And we as a people are only commanded v'chol avavchem u'v'chol nafshechem. If that's the case, I believe we could reconcile the other distinctions in the two paragraphs that we read. V'hayu advar me'ela shanochi mitzavach hayom alevavechem. As opposed to v'hayim shmo v'samtim istvaray el alevavechem v'al nafshechem. If you're talking to the yachid, to the individual, what do you tell him? Place these things on your heart. That's enough. The yachid, the individual, is so connected to God. There's such a loving relationship. You want to love Hashem? Just place it on your heart, that's enough. When you're talking to the yachid, when you're talking to the individual, the Jew who's so enwrapped and so enraptured and so in love with Hashem, all these things that you just said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, V'haftes Hashem Elokeinu V'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha V'chol Me'adecha, they only have to be placed on the Jew's heart, and once they're on the Jew's heart, that's enough. I got it, Hashem. But if you're talking to the masses, you're talking to the water carrier, you're talking to the laborer, to the lumberer, you got to tell him, V'samtem Yisrael Alevavchem V'al Nafshechem, Jew, wherever you may be, in all of Klal Yisrael, place these things on your heart and on your soul. Recognize when we're talking to the gigantic Jewish people, from the greatest to the lowest, to the highest to the lowest, and everything in between, in order for all Jews to appreciate the second chapter, V'hayim Shema, fulfilling the mitzvos, that there should be bounty and rain, schar v'onesh, reward and punishment, it needs a little bit more of an oomph. It needs a little bit more of a push. It needs a little bit more of a patch. V'samtem istavar eila levavichem, V'al nafshechem. You have to place these things, my friends, says Moshe to the Jewish people, on your heart and on your soul. And if that's the case, we can understand the other difference as well. Why is there a last pasuk in Bahayim Shema promising reward, guaranteeing a future, and that we'll receive the land, Kimei Hashemayim Al-Arts, because it's speaking to all of Jewry. All of Jewry, when you're speaking to a class, you got to promise a reward to the class. When you're speaking to the family, the children, you got to promise a reward because you're speaking to everybody. If you want the Jewish people to be successful, Bahayim Shema, you want the Jewish people to listen to the mitzvahs, there's got to be a reward that comes along with it. But in the first passage, when we're speaking to the individual, the unique student, the prized student, the special child, the unique Jew who's dedicating his life to the Jewish people, to Torah, to Tefillah, to spiritual pursuits, there's no reward necessary. I don't need Laman Yubim Echem Vim Evenechem. My reward is in this world. I'm connected to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm learning your Torah. I'm doing your mitzvahs. I don't need Laman Yubim Echem Vim Evenechem Valdama. I have it already. And if that's the case, we could then understand the sequence between the mitzvahs that are given in Shema as opposed to Bahayim Shema. In Shema, the order is Torah, then Tefillin, and then Mezuzah. And of course, it's quite obvious why that's the case now. Because the first passage of the first parasha, Shema is talking to the yachid, the individual who has given his life for God to study his Torah. And therefore, the first thing is what? Vishinantam. Torah, v'dibarta ba, m'shiftecha ba v'esecha, v'lechtecha v'derech, v'shachbach v'kumecha. Because that Jew, that unique individual, his goal and his numero uno, his license plate, his hashtag is Torah, Torah, Torah. It's the first thing. The way that I'm able to place these things on my heart is v'shinantam levanecha. Then, after Torah, then comes tefillin. After tefillin, then comes mezuzah. Because when it talks to the yachid, to the individual, his life is a life of Torah. As opposed to the second passage, the passage of Bahayim Shema, you're talking to Klal Yisrael. Not everybody is going to live a life of Vishinantam Levanecha. Not every Jew is going to live a life of Talmud Torah. You know how you speak to the masses? Mitzvos. The first mitzvah, Ukshartam Osam Laosayadecha. Place it. They need to concretize it. You need to do something. It needs to be tangible. Place the tefillin on your hand. That's the way to make the parsha of Bahayim Shema come alive. Ukshartam osam osal yedchem. Bahayim totavus beinechem. Place the tefillin on your hand. Place the tefillin between your eyes. That's what's going to concretize the mitzvah and everything that you're doing. Once you do that, don't forget about Torah. You can't divorce Torah from mitzvahs. And then, of course, finally, at the same time, the sequence, the chronology in Shema is talking to the individual. It's talking to the yachid. It's talking to the one. It's talking to that lonely man of faith, the individual who is so dedicated and raptured in love. There's a love relationship that's so deep and runs through so deeply that it's the Torah that's first, then is the tefillin, and then is mezuzah, as opposed to when God, Moshe, speak to the masses, it's the mitzvos, it's the practical, it's the tangible that come first, only then after that comes Torah. And if that's the case, we can now understand the difference between the two words used when it comes to Torah. In the passage of Shema, it's v'shinantam. In the passage of Ahayim Shema, it's v'limadetam. What's the difference between shinantam and limadatam? Shinantam is a deeper sense of understanding. The Gemara says, Maseches Brachos, shinantam, sheidivrei Torah michudadim beficha. The Torah should be so clear and crisp on your lips. It should be so obvious, so clear. You could answer anybody who asks you a question. You shouldn't be yagamgam. You shouldn't stutter. It should be so clear to you. The Talmud Torah should be so obvious to you that you get it. One, two, three, shinantam levanecha. As opposed to limaditem, which is a more basic understanding, a more peripheral understanding. Shinon versus limaditem are two different forms of Torah understanding, two different forms of scholarship. Shinantam is different than limaditam. Thus, in totality, what I hope I've shown you this morning, and will continue to show you momentarily as we conclude, is that there's a very basic difference between these two passages. As the Gemara and the Mishnah notes in the end of the first chapter, Maseches Brachos, the basic difference between these two passages is Shema's Kabbalas O Malchu Shemayim, accepting the yoke of heaven, Parshas Ekev, Parshas Vahayim Shemoa, is accepting the mitzvos. But that distinction is even deeper now that we have an understanding of Rabbi Chaim Mivolozhin. The first chapter, the first parasha Shema, Kabbalos O Malchus Shemayim, is something very personal, is something very private. My Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is different than yours. My love of Hashem B'chol Levavo B'chol Nafsho B'chol Medecha is different than yours. I don't know what you know, and my relationship with Hashem is different than your relationship with Hashem. The way I me'ached Hashem, the way I unify God, the way I love God is different than the way you do. And therefore, the first passage is all written in the singular and individual, as opposed to the second passage, the second parasha, the parasha of Ayim Shema, parasha's Ekev, which is teaching to Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos, that's teaching to the masses, to the assembly of Israel, to Klal Yisrael. Mitzvos are for everybody. We all have to keep them. It's Alevav Vechem Val Nafshechem. That's all speaking to the masses, to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people. And of course, the question for each of us, and the question that we all debate, and the question that we philosophize about, the question that's an academic question, but really is a practical question. And it's a deep question. We deal with it with our families, with our children, our grandchildren, students. Where do I fit in? Am I the Shema Yid, or am I the Hayim Shema Yid? Who am I? Where am I? Am I going to dedicate myself to Hashem solely, completely, only? Or will I engage in a secular, and will I engage in the workplace and occupation? These are all big, big questions. And Rabbi Chaim Mivolozhin's approach is, it depends who you are. It depends what you want. Where do you want to be? And as the Rambam concludes, in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, he says, anybody, asher nodva rucho, any individual who wants to be part of Shema, any individual who wants to take upon himself to be part of that unique one, and in the language of the Rambam, hevinu midayo lihibadil lama lefnei Hashem l'sharsu l'avdo, l'das es Hashem, anybody who wants to be part of the Shema, anybody wants to be separate, asher bikshu b'nei Adam harzen es kadesh kadosh kadosh Hashem chelko v'nachalasa l'olam ul'olei olamim. If you want to be part of that group, you can be part of that group. It's up to you to make that decision, an honest decision. You have to be real with yourself and make some very hard choices. Where do I want to be? Do I want to be just with the Hayim Shema? Do I want to be part of the assembly of Israel? Do I want to be part of Klal Yisrael in a totality and live the balanced life that Parshas V'Hayim Shema teacher talks about, the Parsha of the Mitzvos, the Parsha where first comes Tefillin, then comes Torah, and then comes Mezuzah? Or do I want to be part of the Shema? Do I want to be part of that one, the I, the me, the you, where first it's Torah? Those are the questions that are debated. Those are the questions that are hard to answer. They're academic questions, intellectual questions, but they're practical questions. And that's really what we speak about here in Parshas Veschanan and Parshas Ekev. And I'll conclude by noting that at the reason that these two Parshas are found right now in Sefer Dvar and Parshas Veschanan is because it's speaking to the two generations. The Dor HaMidbar, the generation that lived in the Midbar for 40 years while they were sojourning in the desert, they received the man, the slav, the be'er. They were privy to miracles, the ananim. They were living the life of the I, the me, the you, as a group, as an entity. The Midbar was a generation where everybody connected to Hashem. Nobody worked. Nobody had an occupation. Hashem took care of us. We were the ochle haman. We were eating the man. We were received everything. We received the paycheck, came to our door. We didn't have to do anything. All we had to do was to serve Hashem. That was the Dor HaMidbar. But now as segue into Eretz Yisrael, as we've been talking about in the last weeks, Parshas Dvarim and Parshas Veschanan, as we enter the land of Israel, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not going to work like that anymore. There's not going to be man at your doorsteps. There's not going to be slav falling from heaven. There's no man from heaven. The Be'er of Miriam is no longer. There's no more Anani HaKavod. You're entering the land of Israel. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to till the soil. You're going to have to sow the land. You're going to have to harvest your fields. You're really going to have to work. You're really going to have to work. And that's the second passage, the passage of Ahayim Shema Tishmu, speaking to these two generations. The passage of Shema speaking to the Dor HaMidbar, the passage of Ahayim Shema speaking to the Kalal Yisrael, Be'eretz Yisrael, and it's true on a national level, but it's true as well on an individual level, that we have to decide. Maybe it's a different point of our life, maybe it's a different time, maybe it depends who we are, as Reb Chaim Mivolozhin makes the point in Nefesh HaChaim. But these are the questions that we have to be asking, and these are some of the points you'll notice as you read Shema daily, as you walk in and out of your door, and we think about these things, noting the serious and critical distinction, the categorical difference between the Parsha of Shema and the Parsha of Hayim Shmoa. May we all be zocha to fulfill the mitzvos, to study the Torah, to have a deeper understanding of our relationship with Hashem, connecting to Hashem in a true, real, and honest way. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful week. Good Vach Shavuot Tov.